This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with a friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for our weekly etiquette lesson.
Yes, each week you send us your questions about how to behave. And here to answer them this week is Matt Berninger, the frontman for the band The National.
Yes.
They got their start around 1999 playing small gigs in Cincinnati. Since then, the band has earned a Grammy nomination, opened for then-President Obama.
Sweet.
During several speeches. And this week, they're releasing their seventh and latest album called Sleep Well, Beast. Here's a clip from the single, Day I Die.
I don't need you, I don't need you. Besides, I barely ever see you anymore. And when I do, it feels like you're only halfway there.
And Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
In that song, you are singing about what seems to be a relationship in which one of the parties in question is questioning how long the relationship will last. I have read that you wrote some of the lyrics on this album with your wife, Corinne. I mean, what is it like writing about relationships on the rocks with your partner?
I mean, I think all relationships are you know, hit the rocks sometimes.
Yeah.
Never, Matt. So, I don't know what you're talking about. That's insane.
Yeah. A lot of the songs are about struggling to try to get off the rocks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she's into that. And she also knows she's a writer. She's a writer. And she gets that if you're not digging into like the soft parts of it, it's not worth writing about. Yeah.
So you've been singing in the National for a couple decades now. And you guys were part of a huge surge of indie bands who kind of blew up in the mid-2000s. And you've met with great success. I wonder how, if at all, is success different now than you imagined it then?
That's a good question. I mean, I mean, we did imagine, we did dream, you know, we did have fantasies of being rock stars.
Yeah.
And how much of it feels like it's what we dreamed of? A lot of it. I mean, a lot of it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. I mean.
Like, what's awesome?
Tell us the awesome parts first.
I mean, it's awesome when people come up to you somewhere and stop you on the street and just say thanks, you know, for songs that you made in your bedroom, you know, and say they had helped them, you know, and then I also just get to kind of sleep whenever I want to, and I'm in charge of my life, you know, I'm in charge of every hour of it, yeah, except for when I'm on tour, but then even that I'm kind of taking charge of doing it the way I need to do it, so. So it's I'm not going to complain.
That's pretty sweet.
You know, I think about some of those other bands like Grizzly Bear, The Walkmen, Death Cab. We've talked to a lot of them on the show, and you all seem remarkably well adjusted.
It's weird.
More so than rock and roll musicians of the past, I would dare to say.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, Kurt Cobain died, you know, and like he was like so many people's favorite thing, and it's scary as hell. And then all these other, you know, I think a lot of people are realizing that like you want to do it for a long time. It's so fun and it's so rewarding and it's so easy just to let it all fall away and just let it all fall apart. And so we were just constantly trying to keep it from falling apart.
Before we launch into our etiquette questions, which we should probably do here in a second, I'm wondering if you have any pet peeves of audience behavior, perhaps, when you're playing?
No, I have pet peeves about myself, and I, you know, I don't like watching so much my performers because I just look just so uncomfortable so much of the time. But no, I don't have any problem with anything that's going on in the audience.
Cell phones, even like something that I
no, but I mean, I respect the people around you. I mean, I did go see a Nick Cave show, and a couple right in front of me were you know, they had their backs to Nick, and they were filming themselves with their flash on with Nick behind them, and they were like making out in front of the Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds performance, and filming it right in front of me. So I'm watching them make a home movie for themselves. I'm like, really? So I mean. My wife didn't want me to get into a fight, so I went and watched the show from the aisle.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's all outside of my jurisdiction. I'm not a cop.
You're a rock star.
All right. Well, we're still going to need you to police our listeners' etiquette questions. We've told them you were coming, and they submitted them.
Okay.
You ready for these?
Okay.
This first question comes from Bob in Chicago, and Bob writes, okay, here's my almost famous question.
As in the movie Almost Famous.
Got it.
I assume there is a tour bus. I know you've started a family, and it made me wonder what kind of rules you set up for family and friends on the bus.
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, we spend like bursts on buses and stuff like that, and some people's kids will come for, like, my daughters come for little sections of it, and when they're kids on the bus, it's just everything revolves around them. It's just like whatever they need, and it's hard to live on a bus, and a kid has fun for a day or two, and then they just board it because the buses park in like you know, just underneath arenas and in behind industrial complexes. But the bus rules, our buses are usually pretty quiet because there's not a whole lot to do on the bus other than just go crawl into your bunk and it's like a little coffin. You just like shut out and you sleep and it's great. I love it. That's the way everybody uses it. It's like a little sanctuary. It's not like a party. Oh, I mean, we do have the other bus is the party one. That's the one Brian's on.
Man, because I was going to say, you know, earlier you were talking about dreaming of being a rock star. It's like, this doesn't sound like the rock star dream.
Napping at will? That sounds like a dream.
I go to the Devendorf bus every once in a while. That's a good time. That's a good time.
You're not going to give us details?
It's been a lot of Steely Dan today on the Devendorf bus.
Yes. R.I.P. Walter Becker.
Yeah.
Here's another question. It comes from Christine in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And Christine writes, my boyfriend doesn't really dress up. His closet's pretty much been the same for 10 years. How do I subtly nudge him to dress better on occasion without making him feel bad about how he looks now? You a fairly dapper gentleman.
I mean, that's a good question. I gotta say, it is hard to find comfortable clothes that don't look sloppy. I mean, the truth is, if I could wear just cutoffs and tank tops all the time, I probably would. I actually do at home. But I don't know, just take them somewhere. I'm not going to promote any brands, but just take them somewhere and just say, I think you look good in this. Tell him he looks hot in something and he'll put it on.
Yeah.
I think.
Or you can say another guy looks hot in something and he'll put it on. Maybe.
Yeah. Or just start hanging up pictures of the Bad Seeds all around the house.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He'll learn.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, those guys, the older they get, the better they look. How is that possible?
Well, Jim styled me for a photo recently.
Who's this?
Jim Sclavoon is a drummer. I've never looked so cool. The key was he took my collar outside of the jacket and put it on the outside.
On the lapel.
A little 70s style. But you need the right collar to do that.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
You got to be careful. If you got a little wimpy collar, it looks silly. But also, the Bad Seeds told me about the whole not buttoning the bottom button of the vest. So I've learned a lot of things from Jim Sclavunas.
So there you go.
Right. I'm going to point out, Christine, his closet's been the same for 10 years.
Yeah, Christine's been upset about this for 10 years.
And they're still just dating, and she doesn't like his fashion. Guys, I feel like there's a cry for help in here.
Oh, really?
I think they should all change it. They should just switch clothes for a while, see what happens.
Hey, there we go.
There you go.
That'll spice it up.
Just change it all up.
It's the modern age.
All right, I want to ask this last question, which someone submitted via Twitter, and it is just a great question that you're uniquely qualified to answer. And the question is, should a band feel obligated to perform the obligatory encore, or should they just play all the songs as one big set and be done with it?
That's a good question. It's a real awkward moment for everybody involved. You know what? There's a lot of bands that just don't do encores. I think the Strokes never did. Never did encores.
The Wedding Present, one of my favorite bands.
Oh, really? Yeah. They didn't do encores? Really? That's maybe you're right. Yeah, I saw them at Tramps.
Yeah, great club.
In New York City, and you're right. I don't think they did an encore. So I like it. I get it. But we do encores. I don't know. We've done encores that no one asked for. So
from your perspective, an encore is a moment to rest too, right?
Oh yeah. I think of an encore mostly as a pee break, you know. Although I take those throughout the show whenever I want to, anyway. You know, so I just like
right. Don't think of it as an encore. Think of it as a pee break.
Yeah, that's rock and roll.
And then
they
come back and they're like, you know what? I feel great. Let's play our number one song.
Yeah, I will say. Double encores. We actually did that a couple of times. It's just stupid. It's just like, what are you doing? You know?
What if the audience desperately wants a second encore?
At that point, they're just faking it because they feel like everyone wants to go home at that point. Come on.
All right, Matt, thanks for telling our audience how to behave.
Did I? I didn't mean to do that. Thanks. I'm glad I was helpful.
You're sleeping night and day.
Matt Berninger of rock band The National. Their new album is entitled Sleep Well Beast, which coincidentally, Rico, is what my mother used to say when she tucked me in at night.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was sweet.
And folks, if you got an etiquette dilemma, we are here to help. Send in your questions via our website. It's dinnerpartydownload.org. Feeling